Blog Talk Radio.
With that storm that was sent to break you, God's gonna use it to make you. Come on.
I don't know these days in your life that try to take you around. I don't know who keeps it missing. When you're laughing, he will always bring you.
It will work out because all things work together for our good. Amen. The scripture I like to share is coming from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin, which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Father God, we're giving you thanks for another day, Father God. We're praying for each and every one of us, Father God, to open up our hearts and our mind to your word today, Father God. Allow your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us into all truth, Father God. Praying for our pastor, we ask that you continue to use him mightily, Father God, as he makes the word plain, that we can understand it, Father God, and that we will receive that word and share it with others. Father God, we bind up anything and everything to try to come up against anyone on this broadcast, Father God, the listeners, those that participate, Father God, we plead in the blood of Jesus over us all, Father God. We ask that you would be with all those that are sick and shut in, be with those who have asked us to keep them in prayer, and be with the bereaved families, Father God. We know your word tells us that you will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So help us to get this word in our hearts, in the lining of our hearts. That way we can meditate on it day and night. Father God, we give you praise. Open up our hearts and mind to the word, to the lesson of this week, Father God, and help us to have a clear understanding so that we will be the true believers you're calling for in these days. We ask it all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor.
God bless.
Bill, we truly thank God for you. We want to continue to pray for those that the hurricane is affecting, and also the flood over in Tennessee, in Middle Tennessee, and the hurricane has went up towards New York, New Jersey, Delaware, all up in that area. We want to continue to lift those families up, and through all of that, somebody will see Christ. If just one person see Christ through all of that, what a blessing, man. What a blessing. Yeah. And this lady from the job, her name is, her son, his name is Fred, and she asked us to pray for him. So we want to be in agreement that her son be touched and healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay,
hallelujah.
I'm excited about the Word of God. I don't know if anyone had anything left from yesterday that they wanted to share, but we're still talking about the true and living way. And our foundational scriptures is going back to Hebrews 10 and 20. And we'll just read that as a foundational, and then we're going to get some supporting scriptures on what we're talking about. You know, we become new. We need to walk like we're new. I'm going to ask Evangelist Sharon to still read that from Hebrews 8 and 10 and 20. But I say Hebrews 10 and 20.
Yes. Good afternoon, Pastor Beasley. Thank you for the selection. Good afternoon, Pastor Bell. Thank you for that beautiful prayer. Praise God.
Praise God.
We're in agreement. Amen. Hebrews 10 and 20 reads as follows. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil that is to say his flesh. Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Amen. From the Message Bible, Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our high priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. Amen.
Amen. And to understand that there is a new and living way,
mm-hmm.
I think it would be good if we went to second, well, I think it was 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. That was another supporting scriptures. So, because there's an old way and there's a new way. And you have to understand the old way so you can appreciate the new way. So in 2 Corinthians 3 and 6, will you read that before?
Yes, it reads as follows. And it came here in 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible. Only God can write such a letter. His letter authorizes us to help carry out this new plan of action. The plan wasn't written out with ink on paper, just and pages of legal footnotes killing your spirit. It's written with spirit on spirit, his life on our lives. Amen.
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 Yeah.
And in 2 Corinthians 3 and 14. I'm going to look at that.
Yes, and the King James it reads as follows. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, he wore a veil so the children of Israel wouldn't notice the glory was fading away. And they didn't notice. They didn't notice it then, and they don't notice it now. Don't notice that there's nothing left behind the veil. Even today, when the proclamation of that old banquet government are read out, they can't see through it. Only Christ can get rid of the veil so they can't see for themselves that there's nothing there. Amen.
See, it takes Christ to remove that veil from your eyes. It takes Christ so you can see the truth. It takes Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One day you will be face to face,
mm-hmm.
and you will be known face to face. But for right now, if you're going to operate into this new and living way, it's necessary that your eyes be open, clear, to be able to see, and take Christ to make that happen. I'm going to try to share some scriptures with you guys, because in 2 Corinthians 3, 6, it says there's a new, and right there in 3 and 14 says there's an old. So there must be a old before it can be a new.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So the first covenant, Hebrews 8 and 7, we'll read that, Hebrews 8
and 7. It reads as follows in the King James. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible. But Jesus is priestly work far surpasses what these other priests do, since he's working from a far better plan. If the first plan, the old covenant, had worked out, a second wouldn't have been needed. But we know the first was found wanting. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
So think about it. If going to church or going into a building was sufficient and it sufficed God and it paid the debt, that would have been fine. God wouldn't have sought for another one. He wouldn't have looked for another one. But I continue to tell people, going to church won't do it for you. That's
Amen.
Part of the old plan. That's not going to change anything, going to church.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what...
All right.
That's part of the law that came by with Moses. Let me tell you what. When they went to the temple, they was required to take sacrifices, brothers and sisters. Well, I better show you some of this stuff, too, because over in Hebrews, since we were there, we'll go to Hebrews 9 and 12.
In the King James, it reads as follows, Hebrews 9 and 12.
Matter of fact, I'm sorry. Read down through 15. Read from 9, and we'll discuss that. Let's read from Hebrews 9, 12 through 15.
And King James reads as follows, neither by the blood of goats and calves, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of the bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifier to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who wrought the eternal spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, he bypassed the old tent and its trappings in this created world and went straight into heaven's tent, the true holy place once and for all. He also bypassed the sacrifices consisting of goats and calf blood, instead using his own blood as the price to set us free once and for all. If that animal blood and the other rituals of purification were effective in cleaning up certain matters of our religion and behavior, think how much more the blood of Christ cleans up our whole lives inside and out. Through the Spirit, Christ offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice, freeing us from all those dead-end efforts to make ourselves respectable so that we can live all out for God. Amen.
Amen.
You see, the people had to keep the Old Testament diary, laws, the ceremony, the cleansing law. They had to do all that kind of stuff until Christ came.
Mm-hmm.
So God knew and better way. That's how I like to say that. His new, living, better way. Whatever the Lord give us for this week, that's what we're going with. But there's a new, living, better way. And if that old way was sufficient with the blood of lambs or blood of a goat with the, if that was sufficient, the blood of a calf, if that was sufficient, God would not have used his son's blood, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So Christ, and I'm talking about eternal redemption now, neither, the Bible said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, he entered in once into the holy places, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, what they're saying is, when they recognized Christ's blood was pure, redemption became Christ. He could do what he wanted to do with it. He got it back. But he got it for us. More I think about this redemption, it's eternal redemption. I better say that one more time. This is eternal redemption. So it's spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when Christ carried his blood into the Holy of Holies. And the Supreme Court of the universe accepted it. And redemption was completed. Period. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkle the unclean and sacrifice to the purifier of the flesh, hey man, how much more do you think the blood of Christ going to do to your spirit? Who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot or to God, purging your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That's the true and living way, is to serve a living God, not a dead God, not a wooden God, not a God of bricks. I want you to notice that the blood of bulls and goats only cleansed the flesh. That's all it did. It didn't do nothing for the spirit. That's all it did, the Bible says. The cleansing of the flesh means that since it did not cleanse the heart, and man needed a heart cleansing.
Amen.
See, cleansing with the bull, that could not give them rights to the New Testament or the new creation. And if the cause of he is the mediator of the New Testament. Man, I love that. The mere fact that he is the mediator. Based on what he did, people in the Old Testament were saved through Christ's sacrifice. Although the Bible says that the sacrifice had not yet happened. In offering the unblemished and animal blood and all this kind of stuff didn't do any good for us. Couldn't do any good for us. There was no point in returning to that sacrificial system now that Christ had come and had become the perfect sacrifice. So why are you still going to church? When it's like you ignoring what God did. They tell you that when they went to the temple, they carried stuff with them. I don't see people carrying nothing with them but their pocketbook. You're supposed to take some kind of blood for your cleansing. See, that's the old way. That's the way it was designed. But the Gentiles, they weren't no law keepers. So it wasn't, that meant they was out. The only people that was in was Christians, or so-called Christians. But moving on, in Hebrews 9:15, and for this cause, The Bible says he is the mediator of the New Testament. Well, if it wasn't a new and living way, then Christ wouldn't have a job. He would be the mediator. So it becomes senseless to have a mediator for something you don't have.
Right.
So it got to be a true and living way. That's why we have Christ.
Yeah.
You see, the redemption that is in Christ not only reach forward to us, but reach backwards and redeem every man under the first covenant who had transgressed or had trust God in the blood of bulls and of goats. They made actually, everybody don't get this redemption that Christ did because it's spiritual. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's spiritual.
Amen.
Hebrews 9 and 26. Let's read that one. Hebrews 9 and 26. Some kind of way I lost my page. Hebrews 9, 26.
And King James reads as follows. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, he doesn't do this every year as the high priest did under the old plan with blood that was not their own. If that had been the case, he would have to sacrifice himself repeatedly throughout the course of history. But instead, he sacrificed himself once and for all, summing up all the other sacrifices in this sacrifice of himself, the final solution of sin. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
See, everyone has to die, people. We're dying out of self and living unto Christ. So we're not to die anymore. Yeah, we're living into Christ now. That's this eternal life. Your eternal life started the day you got born again.
Mm-hmm.
God looked at this situation. Once you became born again and you become a new creature, God said, you'll never die no more. That's it. You died to death. You've identified with Christ.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to die anymore.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. In Romans 6, you don't have to go there, but you remember in Romans 6, I think we read that, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him. Remember that? The old man is crucified. The old man is crucified. Say that about four or five times and ask yourself what that means. The old man is crucified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll tell you what it means. It means the old man is dead. Let him stay dead and buried.
Yes.
Amen. What happened is the body will be destroyed. But henceforth, we will not serve sin with our body. We're going to serve the total man to God.
Amen.
That's what you got to look at. God looks through all that stuff, and he wants us. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
He wants
Hallelujah.
Hopefully, I was trying to say, this week, the contrast that we're going to make between the old and the new, not that I'm trying to prove it, but unless you really understand this, you're going to continue to go to church and take on religious spirit rather than being the church and show people the love. Because eventually that's where it's going to. If you're going to be like God, you're going to have to be love. Because God is love.
Yeah. Amen.
Because the new covenant is about love. It's a love covenant.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we're going to leave it there for today, and we'll pick it up on tomorrow for the word at noon.
God bless.
Amen. God bless.